Sam Beck-Bessinger, the author of Manage Your Money Like a Grown Up, is in studio with us. How much do you need to save for your kids so they can retire early? You've got no hope, all right? So you've lost all hope. It's impossible. So you're not going to retire ever. So how can you start saving enough money for them, because it'll be cheaper for you to do that so that they can look after you in your old age? It's a strategy.
It's a bit of a strange, for me, it's more of a thought experiment, right?
Okay.
So, I mean, firstly, maybe you don't like your kids. Maybe you think that they need to learn the lessons and need to save for their own retirement. But I think it is an interesting one, because the piece of financial advice that I think we've all internalized by now is make sure you start saving for your retirement as early as you possibly can. But unfortunately, all of us, as we've discussed before, are not learning those lessons when we should in our early 20s. So for many of us,
wine is expensive.
Wine is so expensive. By the time we figure it out, we're past hope. It's too late for us. What would happen if we instead focused on giving our kids a 20-year head start so they could retire early and roll around in their riches, right?
We would ruin them, but it's a nice theoretical discussion.
Maybe we could. Yeah, exactly. So for me, it's an interesting thought experiment, right? And it started with me thinking about this really cool, nifty thing that South Africa has, the tax-free savings allowance, right? So the rules of the tax-free savings allowance, you have 33,000 rand a year. You can save until you hit your maximum limit of 500,000. And then that money can grow. You can invest it, and it can grow however big it wants to grow without any taxes. So it's a magical, magical thing. Right. But now what most people, I think, have heard of tax-free savings accounts by now, but I don't know how many people are aware of the fact that you can open one for a baby who has just been born.
As long as it's a human being with a pulse.
It can have a tax-free savings
allowance. And as a birth certificate.
Exactly. And an ID number. Yeah. And in fact, most Allan Gray, Easy Equities, most of the easy places to go and invest will let you open one for your child. So now, if you started saving from the day your child was born, from the month your child was born, and you saved that 33,000 rand a year, and that translates to 2,750 rand a month and some change, right? Which, firstly, new parents don't have that kind of money lying around. So I acknowledge this is hypothetical.
It's a theory.
If you saved the maximum from the day that child was born until you basically hit the cap at age 16, okay, so there you've saved your 500,000. On their 18th birthday, you could, if you did that, give your child a really lovely, tidy check. Not a check. No one has checks.
Access to the account.
Of 1 million rand, right? So that's what it's grown to by age 18. 1 million rand, which is a heck of an 18th birthday celebration. But if you can also have convinced your child, who has this huge nest egg, to not cash it out and instead keep that until they are 65 years old, that money by then will have grown so much, and I calculated this on 6%, so not so crazy, that will have grown to an amount of money that will let them live off 87,000 rand a month.
Today's money
forever.
Or future money?
So that's taking inflation into account. So you can think of that in today's money, 87,000 rand a month, right? And that's if they never save a single cent for their own retirement. So they can go and spend their entire salary every month.
Let's just break this down into really small bite-sized chunks.
Step by step.
Okay, so 2,750 rand a month over 18 years gives
16
you...
16 years.
16 years, I beg your pardon.
Yeah.
Gives you a lump sum growing at a compound rate of 6% a year of 1 million rand by the time you're 16.
By the time you're 18.
By the time you're 18.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you leave that 1 million rand and you allow that to compound at 6% a year.
Correct.
Some years will be bigger. Some years will be smaller. Mm-hmm. Some years it'll shrink.
Mm-hmm.
But on average, 6% a year up until the age of 65.
Yeah.
That amount of money will grow to give you a spending in your retirement age in today's money.
Yep. And
of
remember,
87,000 rand a month.
That is tax-free money. So that is pure money that they can go and spend. And they can, so the lump sum amount by the time they're 65 is a huge number. It's something like 27 million rand. But that translates to 87,000 rand a month that they can draw down. And that's a nice retirement, right? If they don't want to wait that long, if by age 43, they decide that they're done with life, they want to quit and go and move to the Karoo and open a little theater, whatever people do in the Karoo, they can live off 20,000 rand a month for the rest of their life and never touch the capital, basically. So now, that's the best case scenario, right? And again, I know that most parents of young children don't have the 2,750 Rand just lying around. I know how hard it is. But I think what's really illustrative for me about this example or this thought experiment mm-hmm. is just how powerful time is with saving. Most of us, even if we have 100 or 200 Rand extra per month, sometimes we feel like, well, it's not even worth it. It's not even worth investing. But maybe it is if you can think over a long enough time period.
And I play a similar game with audiences where I say, I look for somebody who's 57 in the room.
Yeah.
And I say, right, who's 57? Somebody inevitably puts up their hand and you say, right, imagine if your parents on the day you were born, and that would have been the day that Hendrik Verwoerd left the Commonwealth, took South Africa out of the Commonwealth. Mm. So it's a long time ago, 57 years ago. And your mum and dad had looked at you lying in your cot and they put 1,000 Rand into an index fund. And there were only two rules. There were no fees on this thing, and there were no taxes on this thing. And you had to leave it there, reinvesting the dividends over time, and you couldn't touch it till you're 65. I say, what is that 1,000 Rand worth today?
Ooh, that's a delicious one. I mean, I kind of want to guess around 500 million.
500 million?
Yeah. Let me break open my spreadsheet. No, I have no idea.
No, exactly. That's the drunkest answer I've ever received from anybody. It's quite interesting because in the first decade of that money, it grows four times, which is incredible, which is massively impressive.
That is huge.
So you go from 1,000 to 4,000 Rand by 1970. And by the end of the 1980s, you've grown another nearly five times to 19,000 Rand. So you've grown 19 times in 20 years.
It's pretty amazing.
That is pretty amazing.
But what's incredible
But it hasn't even begun growing yet.
Yeah, it's the last few years, right?
It's the last few years. And it's also, as South Africa came out of isolation in 1994 and South African companies started expanding and growing and globalizing, suddenly the graph of JSE performance starts to do this. I'm talking to her as if you're not listening. It starts to go up at a very rapid rate. And so by the time you get now, and look, the JSE is a little bit depressed now, but at 55,000 on the all share index, that 1,000 Rand, which in today's money, in terms of time value of money, is 75,000 Rand. So it was a lot of money. It's not just like $1,000.
Yeah.
It was like 75,000 bucks. So it's a lot of money back then.
Yeah.
But that 1,000 Rand is worth 7.5 million Rand.
That's insane. It's
and that's
so crazy.
A compound annual growth rate on average of 19.37%. Now, who knows what future performance of markets is?
Yeah.
And you've done a very conservative.
Absolutely. And the reason
cash sort of return.
Yeah.
Not even a market return.
Well, the reason I say six is because the long-term average of South African equities over the last 100 years is inflation plus 7. And that's the long-term average. So it is quite conservative, but it's my shortcut of taking inflation out of the picture is saying inflation plus 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
What has been until 2 years ago, what are the best three global stock markets in dollar terms?
I would have thought South Africa is definitely in the top three because of mostly that crazy time we had in the 90s, right? I would have thought the US would be one of them, and I'd guess China, right?
No.
Am I so wrong?
But you got
this is so fun, though.
You've got 66.6%.
What's the third one?
Australia.
Interesting.
And so when I did my research, it was 1917 to 2017. That was 100 years. And Australia was the best performer, followed by the United States, followed by South Africa. Then Bloomberg went and did research that went back to the year 1900. And they looked at performance of markets. And it was the commodities boom of the 20th century that gave South Africa the head start.
Yeah.
And South Africa did incredibly well. And on their calculations from 1900 to 2017, according to Bloomberg, South Africa was the best.
Yep.
Australia was the second, and America was the third. And you think to yourself, but you know, it's so counterintuitive, and people are so negative,
so gloomy, and so many people talk about, well, oh, can I even still invest in South Africa? How do I get my money offshore as fast as possible? But yeah, I think we take for granted how lucky we have been and how healthy fundamentally our stock market has been for a very long time.
Your host is talking absolute nonsense. It is the future, Mani, not remotely what she says.
People are
in denial also. So we're talking about history, and at this point we go sound like a financial services advert. We go past performance does not guarantee future performance. But the point is, the only reference point we have got is history. Mm-hmm. And the history of money surprises me all the time.
Absolutely.
In terms of the lessons that we can learn from it. Mm. And you can choose to block your ears to the lessons, and you can ignore the lessons, and you can ignore the power of compounding.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see you down at the corner one day.
There's always excuses, right? And I think the thing is that...
Oh, I love excuses.
So many excuses.
I saw a guy at the gym, and if he hadn't, the other day, if he hadn't had biceps the size of my thighs, I would have punched him. He was wearing a t-shirt with the words, no excuses.
Nah, excuses, Brie.
Exactly. No excuses, huh? Because you could look like me. But in the world of financial... Mm-hmm. But like going to the gym, yep. The same level of discipline as a gym bunny, mm-hmm. if you apply that to your money... Mm-hmm. You could be very wealthy.
And the thing is that even though there are blips up and down all the time, this is why we diversify, right? So it might be possible that there'll be crazy years. It might be possible that South Africa is what, 0.4% of the world's stock market values?
Tiny.
It's a tiny portion. And it might be that there are blips in certain places. Definitely will be blips
like the last
in specific
5 years.
Shocks. Exactly. Like yes. Steinhoffs will happen. But as long as you are spreading your money broadly enough, the nature of chaos, statistics and generalizable predictions and things mean that we can sort of predict on average how things are likely to go overall.
If you're an entrepreneur with a print shop in Stellenbosch,
yeah.
I've got a Christmas surefire seller for you. If you can make bumper stickers.
Uh-huh.
And I just like, you know, there's stuff happens. Steinhoff happens. I think you could sell that.
I'll buy four.
You can buy four. Put one on each side of your car. Sam Beck-Bessingeth, it's always fun. She's the author of a fabulous book, and it's been selling like hotcakes. It really has done very nicely as a personal finance book in South Africa. It has done very, very well, and it continues to be on the shelves. It is called Manage Your Money Like a Rude Word Grown Up, and she's been telling us why you need to do it this evening on The Money Show.